Hello, I'm Liz Curtis-Higgs. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Word by Word. Call her what you will, a wizard, a psychic, a necromancer, or one who traffics with ghosts and spirits, as the various translations say. This much we know, this week's Really Bad Girl was a rock's throw from disaster. I am Liz Curtis-Higgs, and welcome to Word by Word, our weekly visit here in the Faith Radio Network. Each weekend we're looking at various people in Scripture and seeing what they have to teach us. And you know, the fact is, whether they were good or bad, they're in God's Word for a reason, and we can learn from them. So, why is she a rock's throw from disaster? Well, because of what the Bible says. In Leviticus 20:27, we're told, "A man or woman who is a medium or spiritist among you must be put to death. You are to stone them." Well, we aren't told this biblical woman's name, but she was known for what she did and where she lived. And that's why we call her the medium of Endor. Now, here's what makes her a really bad girl. Deuteronomy 18:10-11 tells us, "Let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead." Kind of a long list there. Those practices that are 3,000 years old are still around. We still have fortune tellers. We still have psychics. We still have those who practice witchcraft. And so, as it is often the case in these stories, along with our bad girl of the Bible, we have a bad boy of the Bible who plays a very important part in her story. 1 Samuel 28 is where we're going to be hanging out today. And verse 3 tells us Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. So far, so good. He did what God expected him to do. But then on the eve of battle, Saul panicked. Verse 5 tells us when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. Wait a minute. This is King Saul, right? A scaredy cat? Saul, the slayer of thousands? I should say, David was the 10,000s. Saul, the slayer of thousands, was terrified? Oh, yeah. And for a good reason. Because Saul realized he was going to have to fight the Philistines alone, without God's mighty right arm to guarantee the victory. He was right to be scared. We can't do anything without God. And he knew that he couldn't either. And so he inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Why? Well, because Saul had rejected the word of the Lord. So the Lord rejected Saul as king. So the man's dreams were nightmares, and his trusty Urim and Thummim, two stones that were used to determine the will of God, well, they were useless to him. And prophets? Well, Samuel wasn't around anymore. He had recently died and was mourned by the people of Israel. So our desperate Saul decided to bring him back from the dead. Okay, crank up the fog machine and cue the eerie music. This is quite a scene. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." 1 Samuel 28:7. Now, didn't he expel all those people? He sure did. Now he wants one to act as his medium between the living and the dead, as the Amplified puts it. Hence the word medium, acting as a go-between. Turns out this was a fairly common occupation among women in the ancient Near East. That's why Saul's men assured him, "There is one in Endor," 1 Samuel 28:7. Endor was about 4 miles from Mount Tabor, the Canaanite stronghold. But as our poet Rudyard Kipling wrote, "And nothing has changed of the sorrow in store for such as go down the road to Endor." Now, Saul, to do that, was going to have to cross into enemy territory and sneak past the Philistine army. So, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 28:8, Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, not kingly robes, but average people clothes, I suspect. Not only, of course, did he want to hide from that army, but he didn't want his own people seeing him sneaking off to a medium. And at night, he and two men went to the woman. At night. Mom always told me, nothing good happens after midnight. And of course, she was Mom, so she was right. Darkness and disobedience often go together. Well, we don't know how old the medium of Endor was, or even what she looked like, or even how much she charged. We do know this wasn't her first late-night visitor. When Saul got there, he wasted no time stating his intentions. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name," 1 Samuel 28:8. It's interesting, this is translated in many different ways. The New King James says, "Conduct a seance for me." The Amplified says, "Perceive for me by the familiar spirit." The NEB says, "Tell me my fortunes by consulting the dead." CEV says, "Bring up the ghost of someone." But honestly, I love the New Living Translation. "I have to talk to a man who has died." Well, that one cuts right to the chase, doesn't it? Reminds me of an advertisement typo that I saw once for a Christian event. And it said, "Interpretation from the..." Well, for the, sorry, I hate when I mess up my own funny bits. "Interpretation for the dead will be provided." Oops, that's not really what we mean. But that's exactly what's happening here in this story. And of course, it's illegal, and the medium reminds these guys of that. But the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land," 1 Samuel 28:9. Never mind that they were breaking God's law. Madam Medium only cared that they were breaking Saul's law. Which is interesting, because of course she's talking to Saul. He has clearly disguised himself very effectively. "Why have you set a trap for my life," she went on to say, "to bring about my death?" I wonder if she was truly worried, or whether she was hoping to raise the fee because it was such a risky thing to do. 1 Samuel 28:10 tells us, "Saul swore to her by the Lord." Ooh, that's not something you're supposed to do. "Saul swore to her by the Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Friends, this is what I call taking the Lord's name in vain. I mean, for real. Using his name inappropriately. In fact, blasphemously. By the way, this is also the last time that Saul uttered the name of the Lord. Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" Bring up, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? 1 Samuel 28:11. I'm curious why she suddenly agreed to take the gig. Did the king press silver coins into her hand? Did the two men with him brandish their weapons lest she decide not to do this? Or did the fear in this stranger's face prompt her to help him? Now, she didn't realize it was King Saul, not yet. But she did recognize a beaten man when she saw one. You know, the witches that I've met over the years, including one that I almost chose for a roommate when I was 19, I'll tell you, even though I didn't know the Lord then, he knew me, and he protected me on that one. But here's what I know about witches I've met. They all have a desire to help people. It's misdirected, of course, but it is genuine. They see their craft as a way to assist people who are confused or lost or discouraged. You see, if we don't bring them the truth of what it really means to be lost and who has the answers for them, our Wiccan friends will beat us to the punch. Well, the girl in Endor was ready to serve. "Bring up Samuel," he said to her, 1 Samuel 28:11. You know, you'd think that Samuel would be the last person Saul would want to talk to. Considering how he has disobeyed God, why would he ever want to bring up Samuel? And wouldn't the medium herself be really nervous about bringing back a prophet of the Lord, since she is not a religious woman either? I think this is our first clue that she didn't expect Samuel, or actually anybody else, to make an appearance. Her expectation was that this would be, like her usual things, all, as it were, smoke and mirrors. Now, we're only told what happened next, not how it happened. God is so wise. If he gave us in his word a recipe for bringing people back from the dead, well, some of us might be tempted to try it. So God doesn't do that here. What's interesting is what happens next, because if the medium of Endor planned on creating this spirit with her own clever antics, boy, was she in for a surprise. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice, 1 Samuel 28:12. She screamed, in other words, which is kind of amazing. I would have thought the customers usually did the screaming. She must have been shocked that this time her mumbo jumbo, her smoke and mirrors, actually worked. But then she said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me?" Deceived her? Isn't that the cauldron calling the kettle black? She goes on to say, 1 Samuel 28:12, "You are Saul." Now, why would seeing Samuel reveal that this was Saul? Maybe she realized that this prophet would only return for the king. So she has a dead prophet on one side and a desperate king on the other. No wonder she screamed. If you are just joining us, you're listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. And today we're looking at the story of the medium of Endor from 1 Samuel 28. You can listen to it again all the way through on our podcast, available on myfaithradio.com or lizcurtishiggs.com. And while you're on my website, I would love for you to connect with me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Pinterest, where I have a Pinterest board for every one of the bad girls and the really bad girls. And of course, the medium of Endor's board is done in medium gray. How could I resist? And while you're there, I hope you'll also sign up for my monthly Bible study, which arrives in your inbox. You can also check out my books like Really Bad Girls of the Bible, the source of today's teaching. But I'm just glad you're here for our most unusual ghost story. So back to 1 Samuel 28, picking up at verse 13. The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" That's interesting. So he couldn't see Samuel, but she could. The woman said, "I see a spirit coming up out of the ground," also translated a ghostly form. And understand, the ground doesn't mean the dirt or sand, whatever's outside her door. No, it means the netherworld, the realm of the dead. Gives me the shivers. There's a reason I didn't save this lesson for Halloween. Let's do it right now in the afternoon, eh? Morning, whenever you're listening. So what does he look like, he asked, 1 Samuel 28:14. Well, Saul couldn't see anything, but he obviously believed her. I'm guessing the scream probably did it. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Old man wearing a robe. Well, that could have been anybody. In fact, it would very neatly describe my father rising from his recliner wearing the same beige terry cloth bathrobe that he loved for ages. But you see, Saul requested Samuel, and so he expected Samuel, and those two clues, old man and robe, were enough for him. Yep, that must be Samuel. And the Bible says, then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Whenever you read that in Scripture, face to the ground, it is always a term of respect, a demonstration of respect. He did homage, the NASB says, to the dearly departed. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" Wow, I've got a question here. Who exactly was doing the talking? Was it the Lord? Was it the devil? Or was it the medium of Endor? Well, I'm ruling out the medium, because we're about to hear a prophecy, and she would not have been capable of doing that. Is it, in fact, that old talking snake, Lucifer? Well, that's interestingly what some scholars have suggested. But Satan also has no knowledge of what's to come, unless it appears in God's word. So Samuel's prophecy would have been beyond Satan's ken as well. So was God himself speaking here? Well, when you're trying to discern God's voice, three questions we always need to ask. What's the message? What's the outcome? And who gets the glory? The message needs to be consistent with God's word, and in this case, with Samuel's previous prophecies. And that lines up. The news, however, was not good. 1 Samuel 28:19 tells us, "The Lord will hand over both Israel and you to the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me." That's not good, because in other words, they would be dead. The outcome of these spoken words was Saul being humbled on the spot, when he fell down on his face, and on the next day on the battlefield. The Bible goes on to say, immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. So he had bowed down on the ground before, now he stretched out, full length, filled with fear. The third thing we're looking for is, where does the glory go? Well, the glory goes to God alone. In Samuel's little brief speech, he mentions the name of the Lord 7 times, the number of perfection or completion. So, of course, Saul is undone. I mean, imagine knowing the hour of your own death. We all would kind of like to know what's next for us, but I don't think any of us would want to know that. So this poor guy is wiped out. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day and night, the Bible says, 1 Samuel 28:20. Probably Saul had fasted in preparation for his visit to Madam Medium. That was a custom. But now he is standing on the threshold of his own death, and the guy is a mess. When the woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, "Look, your maidservant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do," 1 Samuel 28:21. Now, this is one of those times, in fact, all the time, I would love to hear the Bible, because I would love to know the tone of voice that these words were spoken in. Were these a gentle reminder from her, "Look, your maidservant has obeyed you"? Or was it a sharp rebuke, "Look, your maidservant has obeyed you"? We don't know, but the medium gets 10 points for this. She didn't hand him an invoice. She goes on to say, "Now please, listen to your servant, and let me give you some food, so you may eat and have the strength to go on your way," 1 Samuel 28:22. The CEV specifically says, "It will give you strength for your walk back to camp." Now, some commentators think she was just gifted with generosity and honored to find the king under her roof. Honestly, I think she realized the sooner Saul left, the safer she'd be. So it was kind of like, "Eat, eat, go, go." But he refused and said, "I will not eat." It's funny how hanging out with ghosts can spirit away your appetite. But his men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground and sat on the couch, 1 Samuel 28:23. So apparently the medium of Endor couldn't convince him, but his own men did. The woman had a fattened calf at the house, which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneaded it, and baked bread without yeast. I gotta say, I am impressed that she has this ability to immediately prepare a meal for a king. I mean, I just have to say, I am so not a cook. When my kids were little and I got near the stove, they would say, "Hot, hot." But this woman, she had a fattened calf ready to be butchered, a delicacy. And here's the way that worked. They were allowed to graze to their heart's content and then sleep under her roof. Hence, that's why it was literally at the house right there. Then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate, for Samuel 28:25. It's a very different kind of Last Supper. That same night, they got up and left. So her plan worked, I guess. Elvis had left the building. The men departed under the cloak of darkness, but the fate of the medium of Endor is also shrouded in mystery. Scholars have been talking about her for 3,000 years and have come up still with two conflicting views. One is that the medium of Endor was a compassionate helper, that she was a thoughtful hostess, that she treated a stricken king with kindness. One wrote, "One of the most attractive exponents of the black art in literature." Really? The second viewpoint, and the one I vote for, is the medium of Endor was a daughter of darkness who sold herself to Satan, indulged in the very sin that both God and her government outlawed, and she used her evil powers for personal gain. So, good girl or bad girl? Oh, listen carefully. The medium of Endor was the worst kind of bad girl, because she directly opposed God and his word, and yet clothed herself in the guise of a helpful soul. Of course, this story does not have a happy ending. We're told in 1 Chronicles 10, 13, and 14, Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord, and even consulted a medium for guidance, and did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. Hear no uncertainty on God's part here. Sorcery, witchcraft, divination are deadly. Horoscopes, palm readers, telephone psychics can cost us our souls. But here's the good news. Our relationship is not with a dead spirit, but with a living Christ. One man, one cross, one life-changing God. What lessons can we learn from the medium of Endor? When God says, "I hate this," pay attention. We are so blessed to live on the other side of Calvary, where grace abounds and forgiveness is eternally ours, and where wise women and men make it their business to know what our loving Lord despises. And that list includes all the occult practices mentioned in Deuteronomy 18, which are detestable to the Lord. Though the world encourages a spirit of religious tolerance, God draws the line at the black arts, shouldn't we? Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil." Another lesson, dead men tell no tales. The living God does. The medium depended on the spirits of the dead and her own talents of illusion to bring forth Samuel. But it seems the spirit of God in the form of the prophet Samuel showed up instead. No wonder she screamed. Departed loved ones, however much good counsel they once offered us, no longer have the answers we need. God does. So let's turn to his printed word, the Bible, and his living word, the Christ, rather than seeking man's wisdom from ages past or horoscopes present. Luke 20:38 says, "He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Well, you've been listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Listen again on the podcast, myfaithradio.com, or on LizCurtisHiggs.com. After such a dark and scary story, I'm thinking maybe we want to end with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you surround us with your light, that you call us out of darkness, that you rescue us from foolish, even evil practices. Lord, help us always turn in the right direction to you. Help us steer away from any of the evil things that are available to us all around us, on television, in movies, on the internet. Everywhere we turn, Lord, is evil. But when we turn to you, Lord, we find only good. Keep our heads lifted up and our hearts deep in your word. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, keeping us on track. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening to Word by Word. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. Why not share this audio link with a friend? And take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player so you never miss an edition of Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs.